Today, we're going to learn a little bit more about the form of the world spiritually and the meaning of the circles that are around the Kedusha. There are three circles around Kedusha that are basically three walls, three ways to guard it, three different vessels, three different levels, three different abilities to approach the Kedusha. Because Kedusha itself, in the basic simple understanding of the word, it doesn't belong to the creation at all. It only belongs to the Creator. Because the meaning of the word Kadosh, Kedusha, is something that is totally separated and kept to itself. Or to itself, or to the one that is it belongs. This is why marriage is called Kiddushin. That now this man is separated from the rest of the world, this woman is separated from the rest of the world, and now they are Kedoshim to each other. The Kohanim are the souls that were chosen to be a channel to reveal somehow an aspect of Kedusha, of holiness, into the creation at all. So, the first circle is the Mishkan, it's the Bet HaMikdash. When there is Mishkan, when there is Bet HaMikdash, this is the first circle. This is what that seems to be Kedusha inside of the creation. This is the Kedusha inside of the creation. Then, the second circle is the circle of Levites, of the Leviim, Shevet Levi, all of the helpers, all of the guards, all of the servants of Kedusha are in the first circle around the Mishkan. And like we said last week, thanks to Amber, with the beautiful question that brought that light into the class, the Leviim are the bridge, are the connection to that holiness. And this is what we see, where their place is, around the Mishkan. And the third circle...
Do you mean from Kedusha to holiness, to the people?
Is to the people, to the creation, yes. Yes, to the wide, plural circle that is called Israel. Yes.
So what's the difference? Because you said the same thing about the Kohanim.
No, the Kohanim are the ones that bring the light of Kedusha into the creation. The Levites are the bridge for the whole nation and all of the creation to approach that Kedusha. And there is the camp of Israel, all of the nation that is still a part of that system of Kedusha. And in the future to come, hopefully, the circles are going to change, because all of the world and all of the beings, all of the human beings are going to be a part of that plural camp, of that third camp, and all of the nation of Israel is going to be in the first two circles.
They're going to be Kohanim and Levim?
Yes, they're supposed to be. I heard once someone, I never saw where it's written, and I don't know if it's true, but someone told me once that Kohanim and Levim are going to switch places. Like, the Levites are going to be in the inner circle and the Kohanim out. I don't know. I have an ideas about it, but I really don't know, so I don't want to talk about it. And basically, there is that fourth circle that is not a part of the system. It's what that is called outside of the camp. Michutz l'machane. Now, what we're talking about is basically the trying and the effort to make the separation between levels of Kedusha, between the vessels and the abilities of people to approach that Kedusha. And first of all, everything inside of us, each and every one of us, of course. Yes.
You said in the fourth circle, it's outside of the camp. Who's in that circle?
It's the desert, basically. And some people, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, are sent there.
Oh, okay.
They're, I don't know if to say exiled or...
Expelled?
When we're trying to do that, to organize ourselves from within, okay, we find a lot of imaginations, like we talked about in the few last classes, that were actually very basic and important classes, so you should listen to them. They're available on YouTube now. So that selection and separation that we're trying to do in order to identify our true needs is very, very hard a lot of times. A lot of times we're so confused, we don't know where we're heading, what is blocking me, what is stopping me, what is preventing me from getting to the good feeling that I'm looking for, to the purpose that I'm looking for, to my targets. What's the problem at all? We don't know. So first of all, we talked about it last week. There is no problem, basically, and this is the solution. But the separation and the selection is still supposed to happen. We need to organize ourselves around Kedusha. And every time we try to do it, there is a different obstacle that is making everything a total mess and not letting us make that process, unless we understand the right technique. So maybe there is more than one, but I want to offer you one that I thought of. Of course, it belongs to Rabbi Nachman of Breslev in a way, by his inspiration. And that technique is very simple. Instead of trying to identify each and every object in the mess that we have on that table that we're trying to organize and to put this in its place and this in its place, and to see the true simple picture, instead of trying to identify every object, we need only to understand what is the real, simple, clear need that we have. And then, when we have that title, I want to get married. Okay, why do I want to get married? I want to get married because I need closeness, because I need compassion in my life, because I need love. Not that I can promise you that you're going to have it when you get married. It's a hard work to build it, and it's not going to happen by itself. So first of all, know that you need to find that compassion inside of you, and you need to find that closeness inside of you. You need to find...
I have a question.
Yes.
But, like, you're supposed to feel, like, okay with yourself, but also you can't be your own companion.
Yes, you need to get married. It's not about that.
You said, like, to feel, like, content before you get married. Like, with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, how are you supposed to, you know what I'm saying? Like, how can you be your own?
Your own what?
You know, you feel like you're missing something. Yeah. Like, you can try to feel happier with yourself, but it's hard because you feel like you're missing your other half.
Okay, but meanwhile, this is your reality, right?
Yeah.
So you're missing.
Another
but between you and yourself, what are you and who are you between you and yourself? What are you going to be able to give to your partner? Only what you are with yourself when you're alone, right? So if you, when you're by yourself, are caught into all of the lackings, and I miss that, and I miss that, so you're going to look and find all of the lacking and all of the missing in your partner. Because this is the state of mind that you're caught at. But when we build ourselves around a state of mind that finds the blessing and the bounty and the completeness in our lives, then we're able to find the good and the beautiful at others, and especially in our partner. This is only an example, but it's a good example. Being aware to yourself, you see? This is the work. But from a good point of view, from a positive perspective. Okay, and when we identifying the real simple needs, we have the ability to build ourselves around those basic, true, simple needs. First of all, in order to survive the lacking and the missing. Second of all, in order to be able to supply it and to give it to our partner when time comes for it. If we're talking about that example. And maybe if we're talking about it, a very important understanding to know that as long that we're trying and we're waiting for someone to change, and we think that our progress depends in the change of someone else, so first of all, we're stuck. We're stuck. We're not able to progress until it changes. Because my progress depends in my mother, that she will learn how to talk to me in a building way, to grow me, to whatever. You're an adult. Okay, your mother has her problems. Deal with it. Let's try to build her. Maybe she will change if we change. If something is wrong in the reality, we don't have that privilege to wait for reality to change. The reality is going to change because we change, first of all. This is the rule. But more than that, it goes even deeper. Because as long as we decide that someone or something in the reality is preventing me from progressing, we don't let it change. We prevent the change. We cause that stacking. Because that world exists only according to the faith of people. And what people believe in is the world that they create. And the people that have the stronger faith influence more. Okay, this was an important point, for sure.
What if someone's like a crazy person?
Okay.
Sometimes they need to change, not you. Like sometimes they really are the problem. Like they really are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or like let's say like there's a situation where like let's say like you said with the parents, like they really are being irrational.
Yes. Okay.
So you have to change yourself? Like, how many times can you change yourself?
First of all, you need to be totally flexible and dynamic to change in your life. Basically, this is the goal in your life, to change. But it doesn't mean that you need to change according to someone. You just need to change your approach. If your parents are being totally irrational, maybe you need to move. You're mature enough, it's time for you to move. Okay, so you need to start cleaning houses for to make your parnasa. You need to... Okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think I'm wrong?
No, I think
you're right. You're allowed to think that.
No, I
Answer
agree.
Me.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
Ah, you agree? Oh,
yeah.
That was too easy.
Yeah, usually.
Yes.
I think that if somebody's acting like off the wall, you know, we don't necessarily need to change what we're doing. Maybe we're not doing anything wrong, but we need to change like how we let it affect us.
Yeah.
Like that's the part that we can work on.
Perfect.
Basically.
Beautiful. Perfect. Amazing. Thank you. Again. And also, I think that sometimes the change, we're not talking about peace and love. We're talking about a change that might be calling the police and moving that crazy person from the area. I don't know. Really, no. Maybe. I'm not... To change myself, that I let that craziness be around me all day, maybe this is the change that I need to make to call the police. Once and forever. Well, there is no rules. So after the separation was understood, what is the real need, then we can know that all of the rest is imaginations. instead of starting to deal with each and every object and getting stuck in that mud of all of the mess, to recognize the true, simple, real needs is a lot easier. And we have guidance for that from the Torah, of course, from righteous people. Okay, so now it was preparations for what we're going to talk about. In the beginning of the parasha, the Torah is talking about three levels of contamination, three different ways. First of them is the tzara'at, leprosy. That it's very, very interesting discussion between of the commentators, that some say that it's truly a disease, like a disease that we know, and some say that it's not the disease itself. It's like a sign from heaven that is given on the skin, in the hair, in the beard, whatever, each one. This is the first. The second one is Ziva. I'm not able to go so much deep into it because I don't know enough about it. And the third subject is the contamination of the dead. A dead body, someone that was exposed or touched, a dead. Okay, so the Torah is saying that those three are sent outside of the camp. And I had a beautiful question by Naama that is asking very simply, what is the merciness of sending someone outside of the camp? So we touched it when I said that sometimes we need to change in the meaning of taking someone away from the area. Now we're going to see the exact borders of it. Because first of all, Rashi brings that, of course, by the Gemara, that when the Torah is saying outside of the camp, we need to understand where is it. Because, like we said at the beginning, and this is why I made that introduction, we have three circles that are considered as three camps. And it's three levels. Tzara'at, the leprosy, is sent chutz l'machaneh, like totally to the desert, outside of all camps. The ziva, what?
How would they survive?
Maybe someone is supplying them water and food. They're not expelled from the nation, but they're expelled out of the camp. The second one, the zav, that has sexual matters, problems, in the meaning of, again, it's like if it's women, it's different blood than the regular period. It's something else. I don't know exactly about it. If it's man, it's some weak, uncontrolled sperm that is spelled out. I really don't know the exact description of it. So that Zav is sent outside of the two first circles, but is allowed to be in the Israel camp, okay, in the plural camp. And the one that is Tamemet, that was exposed to death, is only expelled from the Mishkan itself. He's not allowed to get into the Mishkan, into the holiness, the way I described it. But he is allowed to be in the Levi's circle and also in the plural circle of Israel. So we have three levels of contamination. The one that is sent outside of the camp, the one that is allowed to be in the Israeli camp, and the one that can be also in the Levi's camp, but not get into the holiness itself. Let's try to understand who are they. First of all, the leprosy, tzara'at. What is it coming to say? Again, the commentators say, some of them say it's the true illness, and some of them say that it's only a sign from heaven, and it's not the illness itself. But anyway, both of them agree about the fact that it's a sign from heaven that comes for the same reason. And what is that reason? The main reason is Lashon Hara, the one that talks bad on others. There is a beautiful teaching in the Gemara of Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish is saying, it's actually a verse in Vayikra that says in Parashat, there is Parashat that is called Metzora, the one that has leprosy. It's a name of a parasha in the Torah. It's very deep, it's amazing. So it's written, Zot Torat HaMetzora. So Resh Lakish is saying, Torat HaMetzora, the Torah of the one that has leprosy, Torat HaMetzora, listen to it, it's the way it sounds, HaMotzi Shem Ra, HaMetzora, HaMotzi Shem Ra. The one that is giving, is calling out a bad name to his friend, that is saying bad things about his neighbor and making him a bad name, like in the public. HaMotzi Shem Ra. This is the main reason for tzaraat, lashon hara, ayin ra, bad eye, someone that is not respecting and shaming. And the first of them, of all of them, you won't believe it, but it's Moshe.
What?
Yes. When did it happen? In the burning bush. It's not that Moshe deserved that leprosy, in a way he did, because it wouldn't happen. It was one of the signs that Hashem gave Moshe to show the people. To put his hand, other hand, yes? And he took it out and was totally, like, infected.
Yeah.
Then he put it back and it was totally clean again. The main idea is that Moshe himself didn't believe enough in the people, that they're able and that they will believe. He's asking Hashem, and what if they won't believe him? He doesn't believe in them by asking that. They're going to believe. Okay, so he's trying to be reasonable, he's trying to make it. But still, for his level in Kedusha, it was a kind of a lacking, and this is why he saw that leprosy on himself. And this is the kind of a sign that was given to him. Also, to show the people when he's coming to them, to redeem them, to show them that the redemption is dependent on the good eye that we have on each other. That no one is going to have a bad eye or a bad talk on his friend. This is the sign that Hashem is sending to the nation. Moshe's sister, when she is talking with Aaron about Moshe, and the only reason she's select, again, you see that it's like the highest, biggest, righteous people in the nation. It's only for us to have a sign for it. It's not in order to see their lacking, because in our levels we wouldn't even consider as a reason for nothing. But for them, that they're so high, it's like a tiny wrong thought. One wrong word is already a reason to get a sign from heaven. So Miriam was trying to compare between Moshe and all other prophets. This is what she did, and for that she got that leprosy. Because she disgraced his honor, because Moshe is not like no one. Moshe is like, it's the only one. He's holding a whole different level. Bekol Beiti Ne'emanu, Hashem is saying, I let him enter all of the rooms in my house. He can see everything. I don't hide nothing from him. So the one that is breaking the system's order, that is ruining people around him, the way to deal with him, the true way, and the true, you know, the way you ask the question, I really liked it. Because when you're asking if it's that truly merciless, and that's truly the way of a mercy father, is showing that we must find the way of merciness inside it. Okay? This is the true answer. Yes, it's the way of a merciful father. And now, start working with your brain to find how and why. The true merciness on someone that is ruining his own life and people around him is to expel him. And it's not a punishment again. Now, you've been a bad boy, go be sit alone in your room, have time to think about what you did. It's not about that. The same action, but just like you said before, from a different point of view, from a different state of mind. Because someone that is talking bad about others is someone that is too distracted from himself. What are you dealing about others at all? What? When do you have time to look and find the bad of others? When do you have time to invest in looking for a reason to talk about them? You can simply just deal with yourself, do whatever you need, and look at yourself. This is the simple truth of life.
So this can be either an actual disease or it can be a spiritual problem?
Yes.
So it can be either?
Yes. What I wanted to say is that basically we see that this person is too distracted not to do his real inner work with himself. And this is the main reason to expel him out of the camp. So he has no one to distract him from himself, and he will have no other choice than starting dealing with himself. So this is a little bit about Tzaraat. Shem Yishmor. The second way is the one that has a problem with connecting. Like we said, that it's a sexual problem, basically. And the simplest understanding and meaning of the intimate relations between people is the ability to connect, to truly give, to truly be able to stay dynamic and find a way to see a complete reality. If you're not dynamic enough, every influence that coming from someone around you is an interruption. Interruption? But when you're dynamic and you have love in your heart, you find your life just more colorful with those influences around you. This is why the one that is not able to connect is allowed to be inside of the camp of Israel, because he separates himself, but he's there, he's between all of us, but he's not allowed to get into the Levi's camp, which is the circle of connection, which is the level and the ability of connecting.
Why would somebody go into the Levi's camp? I thought they weren't allowed to go in there. They were allowed to?
If that Levi had an chicken that just... and you want to buy eggs, you can go and buy his eggs.
There would be the teachers also, so you would go to them or they would go to you. If you wanted to learn with the Levi, you would go to their camp. So maybe that's what...
Maybe.
I thought they surrounded the Mishkan. So as... Because doesn't it say, like, I'm putting them here so that my... Like, basically, you won't die. Like, the rest of Israel won't die. He had the Levi'im and the Kohanim, like, surrounding the Mishkan in the center of the... people, so that they wouldn't die, because if they got too close, wouldn't they die?
Yeah, they might die, but... Everyone got into the Mishkan to give a sacrifice after they sinned or something. It's not that it's not... Inside of the Mishkan, inside of the... Especially in the temple, I don't know how it was in the Mishkan itself. But there is places, again, in the temple itself, there is Azrat Israel, when only... And then you have places that is the Kodesh, and the Kodesh of Holy of All Holies. There is places that you're not allowed to go at all. But basically, it's a camp. People live there, you know? It's always a good way to learn by picturing yourself, people living like you live your life. And understand that, you know, this is the way life goes and it's okay. Of course, the one that is sent outside of the camp is expelled from all three. Of course, the one that is expelled from the Levi camp is expelled also from the first circle of the Mishkan. And the last one, the one that was contaminated to a dead, if we build it the way I just did, we see that he doesn't have a problem to connect. He's able to connect, his heart is open, he's full of love. But what is he connected to now? He's connected to death. So he's expelled from the river, the spring of life. Because holiness is the spring of life. It's the place where life comes into the world, into the creation. And it's okay, actually. It's okay because not always it's the time to get into the holiness. Sometimes it's only the time to leave yourself open and ready. Just run after targets. Sometimes it's good to leave yourself open, like I said, dynamic. Willing to connect, ready to connect. And you connect to whatever you meet. I'm leaving myself open to life. And I'm willing to connect. And sometimes someone needs to bury the dead. What can you do? Sometimes someone needs to mourn on their beloved ones.
So what do the Kohen do if they have a relative?
They go out.
No, but if they have a relative that dies, does that mean they can't be near the body at all? Like,
there is a difference between a regular Kohen and the big Kohen, between Aaron and his sons, okay? Uh-huh. A regular Kohen is allowed to be exposed to seven relatives that a person have, which is father and mother, yes, brother and sister, son and a daughter, and his wife.
Okay.
Seven relatives. He's allowed a regular Kohen. And the high Kohen, the Kohen Agadol, the big Kohen, is not allowed at all to no one. And it's written in the Gemara, it's very beautiful. I cried when I learned it the first time. That when there is the funeral of one of his parents, he's like walking like 200 or 300 meters behind him. And what I wanted to say, that I just read about it here in the commentator Kli Yakar, the precious tool that I love so much, he is saying that we see about the Tzara'at that in first temple was full of idol worshipping. It doesn't sound reasonable at all, but it was, and it was destructive. Second temple was no idol worshipping, but we had that baseless hatred and Lashon Hara. And our sages teach us that Lashon Hara is considered all kinds of idol worshipping. And again, why is that? First of all, because you make yourself an idol. Second of all, because you make your friend an idol. And then you start talking about that foolish, imaginary invention that you just created. So anyway, Bezrat Hashem, I bless you, I bless all of us to have real dynamic life full of light and love and compassion that will find only the good eye, only a good word to say, only the good, the bounty and the blessing in our realities and in our lives, and that we'll find true peace, Bezrat Hashem, soon.